is to reach millennials and what you have to do, the extremes you have to go to reach millennials. And so as these three were singing here and I was looking out across the congregation and scanning the millennials that are here, it just reminded me of how God is able to do anything. Amen? And sometimes we get our heads wrapped around certain things and we get ourselves all tied up into them and we convince ourselves of all kinds of things when actually all it takes is the Holy Spirit. Because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world, just as the song was about. I would like you to take your Bibles, if you would please, and turn to 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. And I'm going to read to you a couple verses out of chapter 6, and then about 15 verses out of chapter 7. And the title of my message this morning is Facing Our Fears. Facing Our Fears. And we're going to see that in these scriptures, and I'm going to challenge you in your individual life to face your fears, because greater is He that is in us than is in the world. God is able to face whatever it is you're facing in your life. God is able to take you through. So 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 24 and 25, and then we're going to pop over to chapter 7. It came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host, or his army, and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. So let me explain to you what those two verses are saying. It's saying that the Syrians gathered their entire army and they went over in the northern region of Israel and they conquered that area and they besieged the capital city, which is Samaria. And when they put their army all around the city, there became a great famine in the city. The city became so famished that a donkey's head sold for how much did it say? Sold for 40 pieces of silver. Now, for you and I, who maybe you have no problem eating a donkey's head, for the Jews, a donkey was an unclean animal. You wouldn't eat any part of it, never mind its head. But they were starving to death. So much so that it goes on to say that just a part of a cab of dove's dung sold for 5 pieces of silver. And believe it or not, it's just kind of like, have any of you heard of bird's nest soup? Have you ever heard of that? People eat it. It's a certain kind of bird where you gather their nests, they boil it, the nutrition's out of the nest, come into the soup, and they eat it, and it's supposed to be very good for you. I'll pass. But dove's dung during a famine, starvation, they would go up into the rafters of their buildings and they would scrape out the dove's dung and they would do a similar thing. They would cook it down to make it into some kind of a gruel because they're starving to death. And if you're starving to death, you would be pretty amazed at what you would be willing to eat. So they're drawing for us a picture of an invading kingdom coming, taking the city, putting their armies around the city, and just waiting for the people to become so famished that either they give up or they die. Pick it up with me at chapter 7. So I want you to understand the dire circumstances these people are in. These folks absolutely are facing sure death. But listen to what takes place in 2 Kings chapter 7. Then Elisha, who's the prophet, said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." So the prophet stands up in Samaria and he says, "Wait. I want you people to understand that tomorrow at this time, there will be such abundance and such plenty that fine flour and fine wheat will be sold for pennies. Now, can you imagine hearing that while you're starving to death and in this army all the way around your city? So look at what takes place. Verse 2. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" In other words, he's mocking the prophet. And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof." So the prophet responds to this Lord, this powerful man. He says, "You're going to see it, but you'll never eat it." Quite an event building up here. Pick it up in verse 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now, therefore, come, let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." And they arose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no man or no soldier in the entire camp. So we start to begin to see the theme of the next 15 verses about facing your fears. So the first fear we see is the fear of living or dying. We have four leprous men. Leprosy in itself was a death sentence at that time. But this invading army had come and besieged. They had set up camp all around the city. In the city, they're going to starve to death. Out at the gate, they're going to die. So they say to each other, "Let's go to the Syrians. Maybe they'll have mercy on us and let us live. If we stay here, we die. If we go there, we might die or we might live." And so we're faced with the fear of living and dying. Should we just sit here and die? And I want to put out to you that there are a lot of people who live their lives in just exactly that condition. They fear living or dying. And they really just go through life just plodding along, never really living nor going ahead and dying. They're always afraid. They're always afraid to take the next step. They're always afraid to grow, to expand, to do whatever God has for them around the next corner. These four leprous men, they were afraid, but they needed to face life. They needed to take risks. They needed to step outside of their box. You and I, we have to be willing to do the same. It's interesting the question they ask each other. Why sit we here until we die? And I ask you as I ask myself. You know, where are we in our lives? Are we willing to just sit and die? Or are we willing to stand up and make a difference for God? Make a difference for the kingdom of God? Make a difference in our lives, for our community, for our family, for our nation? Make a difference. Don't just sit and die. Should we face life and live? Because life is full of risks, is it not? This morning you got in your car and you drove to church. When I came to church this morning, it was about 20 till 8. And as I was driving on the road, I had to put my truck in four-wheel drive. It was sleeting, it was snowing, it was slick. I risked to be here this morning. That's what life is full of, amen? It's full of risks, no matter what you do. Jen is an elementary, middle school, junior high school teacher. And so every week she goes to school and she faces a classroom full of junior hires. Talk about risk. But she does it joyfully. Every one of us in life, either we just sit and die or we step up and we say, I am going to live. And these men did just that very thing. We have to face those fears. The scriptures teach us, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. And we have to come to that realization that life itself is a gift from God, and it needs to be lived for the Lord. So we have to look at our lives, and we have to ask ourselves, am I just waiting to die? That's a pitiful way to live. And you've got to face that fear. And you've got to check it off your list. And you've got to ask God, God, go with me. Go with me as I face the Syrians. Go with me as I face life. Help me to do that which you have for me. Because who knows what God has around the next corner? Because remember, the text tells us that as they arrived in the Syrians' camp, there was not a man to be found. There was not an enemy soldier to be found. And that brings us to our next fear, the fear of consequences. Everything has consequences. Before the 1800s, dye and cloth was an arduous process. Is there anybody here who has purple on? Anybody with purple? Brenda, stand up. Get purple on right there. So purple, you can go ahead and sit back down. I just want to make sure everybody knew what the color purple was. Before the 1800s, when dye was discovered to be able to take out of minerals, dyeing was a process of plant and animal matter. So whatever color they put into cloth had to come from decomposed plant or animal matter. Purple was an extremely expensive color, extremely expensive dye, because it took thousands of crushed sea snails to create the solution to dye a garment. But what was the consequence of wearing purple? You smelled like sea snail. You see, everything has consequences. Wasn't until the mid-1800s that they found out that you could make dye out of other things than plants and animals. In each one of our lives, there are consequences to our actions and to our decisions, whether we like it or not, whether we want to avoid it or not. Whether we want to make believe it's not so, there are always consequences. So listen as we come down into verses 6 through 9, and look what happens with these four lepers, 2 Kings chapter 7. Well, I'm going to pick it up. Where did I drop it off? I dropped it off at verse 5. And verse 6. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host or army. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. So the Assyrian army, they had heard a great rumble of chariots and horses and armies approaching. Look what takes place in verse 7. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So these four lepers, as they go out to the Assyrian camp, the great army, they find every soldier has fled. They fled for their lives because they thought the Egyptian and the Hittite armies had come as allies of Israel and were getting ready to crush them so that the city of Samaria could be set free. So they fled for their lives. And when these four lepers come, they find not a man. But what did they find? All the plunder. Because these people fled. They didn't go ahead and pack up and go. They ran out of this place. So they left behind their wheat, their flour, their gold, their silver, their tents, their bedding. Whatever they owned, they left behind. And farther on in the text, it tells us they ran in such haste that they discarded their armor, their swords. They ran for their lives and left everything behind. So here are these four lepers. They are faced with the most unique blessing. This is amazing. Here, just a little while ago, they're sitting at the city gate saying, are we going to live or die? If we stay, we die. If we go in the city, we die. But maybe the Assyrians will have mercy on us. They never dreamed that God had driven the army away. You see, sometimes in the midst of all our fear, God is at work. And what we ourselves cannot imagine, God is taking care of. But there are always consequences to the decisions we make. And so here these four lepers are as they come into the camp and they say, wow, we hit the jackpot. So they start gathering gold and silver and garments. Because at that time in history, a garment was worth a lot of money. Wasn't like today with his bins and bins of giveaway clothes. Back then, clothes were very valuable, handmade, hand looms, all of that. So they're gathering all this stuff. And what did it say they did with it? They buried it, took it out, buried it, went back to another tent, gathered it all up, went back, buried it. And then they said, wait a minute. There's a consequence to this today. If we don't say anything to anybody, something bad will happen to us. And they were wise. Because think about it. Say you were in that city starving to death. And all of a sudden you find out these four lepers have been out there living it up. For a day or two or three or who knows how long, what would be the reaction of a city full of people? Would not be good. So these men say amongst themselves, there are consequences to our actions. And we are not doing well by hoarding and hoarding and gathering, hiding and hiding and eating. They said, we need to go. We need to go and tell those in the city. We need to tell the king so that he knows the people can come out and find food. When you look in the scriptures, Hebrews 13:16 says, to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God expects us to do right. To do well. In fact, Titus 3:8 says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. And I want you to hear that. Thou affirm constantly. In other words, do it over and over and over again. That they which believe in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto all men. is what the text says. So these four leprous men, they say to themselves, we are not doing well. This is not right. We are part of a community, and we need to go back, and we need to share the good news with these people. You and I, we also have the riches of the good news. We have the riches of the good news of the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who sets men free from their sins to eternal life. So if we are silent, we're even as those four lepers who are just burying our jewels, our treasures, our gold, our silver. We're eating and taking it all in, but we're not sharing it with everybody else. We have to muster the courage. We have to face our fears. We need to recognize the consequences of being silent when we have been so blessed. These four men, their contemplation was good. They recognized that they were not doing right, and they stepped up and faced their fears to go and tell the king. So we come to our third point. And this involves the king, the most powerful man in the land. He is the king over the 10 northern tribes of Israel. Powerful, powerful man, but in a city that's starving to death. Look with me down at verses 10 through 16 of 2 Kings 7. And listen to what happens. So they came and called unto the porter of the city. And they told them, saying, we come to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied, and asses tied, and the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night, and said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. So the king's getting ready to answer this report. This report that the Syrian army's gone. That the city is able to go out and gather food and eat and live. So listen to what the king says. He says, I want to tell you what's really going on here. So they came. They called the porter. The king arose in the night. He says, I will show you what the Syrians have done to us. He says, they know that we be hungry. Therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. And one of his servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say that they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed. And let us send and see. So the king is told that the army is gone. And the king says, I don't believe it. I'm not about to risk my life or anybody else's. Because I think the Assyrians have gone and they're just hiding in the bushes. And they're waiting for us to go out and start gathering out of their tents. And then they're going to fall upon us and then take the city. So one of the other leaders, one of the lords, one of the underlings under the king, an advisor, he says, wait, let's take five horsemen. And he says, horses are rare here. Rare as the people are dying off. Let's take five horses and send them out. Surely, king, five horsemen are worth the risk to find out if this is true. So let's look at what takes place. Verse 14. They therefore took two chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. And they went after them unto Jordan. And lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. As we look at this, we are faced with the fear of the unknown. That's what this king was faced with. And you and I in our lives, we're often faced with fears like that. Fears even of the unknown. The king hears that the Assyrian army is gone, but he's responsible for all these people in this city. But these people are starving to death. And he says, well, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. It takes somebody else to whisper in his ear and say, well, let's at least investigate it rather than just sit here and die. But he's afraid. And so many of us are afraid of the unknown. We're afraid of what's around the next corner or over the next bend. Lots of people live their whole lives afraid of death because they themselves don't have faith and they don't know what's on the other side. There's so many people who fear the unknown. It doesn't matter whether you're as powerful as a king or even one of the four lepers. That fear can be overwhelming. It can be constricting. It can be inhibiting to where you don't live your life because you are afraid of what could be. They say 99% of the things people worry about never come to pass. And how true that is. We fret and we worry and we wring our hands and it never comes to pass. That's why we have to learn to rest in the Lord. This king, he couldn't imagine that God could have gone ahead and driven the Assyrian army away, but God had. He had done what nobody could imagine because our God is able. And he does miraculous things. As we look at this, we understand that it required each of them to face their fear. If the four lepers had never left the gate of the city, they would have all died. If the four lepers had not faced their fear of the consequences, they would have never gone back and told the city. And if the king had never faced his fear of the unknown and sent out the messengers, then they would have never experienced freedom. Every one of us in our lives, we face our own fears. Yours may not be the same as the lepers or the king's. Your fears may not be the same as my fears or my family's fears. All of us have different life experiences, and all of us have those little demons that linger out there. But we have to face them with the power of God in our lives. And that's what we learn from this text, is how that God can do that which is unimaginable. God can do that that you and I individually can't even begin to comprehend. God can do it. But we have to be willing to say, yes, Lord. Yes, I'll get up and live. I'll go see and I'll go tell. You know, the difference is my message is about living a life of joy and victory. The devil will tell you, yeah, go live. Live it up. Live like the devil. Experience life. All that's doing is rushing towards death. I'm talking about living life to where you honor God and respect God and honor one another and respect one another. Value life, the gift that God has given to us, and use it as a commodity that God has invested in. These folks found victory because they faced their fears. We must do the same. I'd like you to bow your heads as we come to the end of the service. As our head is bowed and as we look in our hearts, I ask you this morning, what fear do you face? And only you can answer that. Maybe you fear faith itself. Maybe you struggle with the whole idea of just resting in and trusting in God. Let me tell you, He is there and He cares. Died on the cross for your sins that you might have life in Him. He wants you to face that fear. Put your faith in Him. Let Him change your life. Give you eternal life that you may live with Him forevermore. What is your fear this morning? Father in heaven, as we come to this invitation time, I pray for your Holy Spirit to work and move in our hearts. For only you know what we allow to hold us back in all areas of life. Whether it be in our family or in our jobs, whether it be in our service for the kingdom at our church or in our community. Lord, I pray that even as our heads are bowed and as we look in our hearts, you would help us to recognize those fears. That we might give you the victory. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.